This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
Thank you. Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 361 and three quarters, up 5 3/4. December corn, 369 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. March corn, 382 and a quarter, up 4. September soybeans, 1073 and three quarters, down 12. November soybeans, 1028 and three quarters, up 5. January soybeans, 1036 and a half, up 4 3/4. September wheat, 556 and a half, up 9 1/4. December wheat, 571 and three quarters, up 9 1/2. March wheat, 591 and a quarter, up 8 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. First of all, the Illinois country grain prices, they ended mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. Geopolitical turmoil in the Ukraine that might stop grain shipments push grain prices higher. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 6 cents at 358 to 379. Soybean bids mostly 40 cents lower in the northern part of the state, ranging from 1134 to 1230. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 to 11 cents at 351 to 385. Soybean bids were 40 to 41 cents higher at 1165 to 1304. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 4 to 5 higher at 341 to 375. Soybean bids 28 to 29 cents lower at $11 to 1197. And the wheat bids up 7 to 10 cents at 463 to 517. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were a nickel higher at 1209 to 1329. Basis unchanged on Thursday, range from 180 to 300 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 563.20 to 623.20. That's up $16.40 a ton, with basis steady range from 130 to 190 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 8 to 11 cents stronger at 392 to 407, with basis up 2 to 5 cents at 30 to 45 over September. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids steady to 13 cents lower at 356 to 375, with basis 6 to 19 cents weaker at 6 under to 13 over September. Soybeans mostly steady to 55 cents lower on Thursday, range from 1034 to 1179, with basis mostly steady to 60 cents lower at 5 to 150 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mixed at 367 to 387. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by a nickel with quotations at 1054 to 1179. Soft red winter wheat up 9 to 10 cents at 509 to 508, and the Milo ended 4 to 5 higher at 369 to 370. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 331 to 339. New crop soybean bids at 997 up to 1010. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 332 to 341. New crop soybean bids 983 to 1013. And in the southern part of the state on Thursday, new crop corn bids range from 329 to 349, with the new crop soybean bids 993 to 1017. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, $154.65, up $1.45. October live cattle, $150.10, up $2.27. December live cattle, $152.70, up $1.92. August feeder cattle, $218.52, up 37 cents. September feeder cattle, $217.15, up $2.67. October feeder cattle, $214.77, up $2.62. October lean hogs, $95.47, down 45 cents. December lean hogs, $90.37, down 12 cents. February lean hogs, $89.90, down 2 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you Thursday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.63 lower in the range of $82 to $91 with a weighted average carcass price of $90.47. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading unevenly steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 58 to 66, 4 to 5 weight 62 to 68, 5 to 6 weight 66 to 72, and 600 pounds and up 68 to 73. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $63 up to $65. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,749 head. And now for the report from Reels Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 274 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 149 to 156.50, select and choice 139.50 to 147.50. Choice heifers were 149 to 155. And on to the slaughter cows, they had premiums bringing 125 to 137. And the high dressing all the way up to 143. Breakers were 107 to 117.50. Boners were 109 to 121.50. And leans were 90 to 104. Now on to the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 391 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 150.50 to 160. Select and choice 144.50 to 150. Select steers were 140. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 142 to 150, select and choice 132 to 140. Choice heifers 152 to 156.50. And on to the opening report for Walnut. Steers and heifers were steady to a dollar higher. Holstein steers were steady. Trade was active with good demand. Choice slaughter steers 151.50 to 156. Holstein steers 139.50 to 144. And choice heifers 151 to 156. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were 153 and on a dress basis 240 to 243. Heifers on a live basis traded at 151 to 153 and on a dress basis 240. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 292 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $100.62, which was 44 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $246.89, which was 52 cents lower. And select carcasses were $235.27, and that was $2.33 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000. That compared to 115,000 last week and 125,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 410,000. That compared to 406,000 last week and 431,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. August corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.84. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.48. August corn delivered to Scottville, $3.75. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.48. August beans delivered to Greenfield, $11.35. September beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.98. August beans delivered to Scottville, $11.24. September beans delivered to Scottville, $9.98. August wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.73. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.84. Corn at Scottville is $3.75. Beans at Greenfield are $11.35, beans at Scottville are $11.24, and wheat at Scottville is $4.73. That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Friday morning by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. 620 on this Friday morning, color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge and know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies today with scattered showers possible. High temperatures in the upper 80s. We will have south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers possible. Low temperatures in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, Saturday, cloudy skies with showers possible. Highs in the mid 80s. And your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers each day. Low temperatures in the upper 60s, highs in the mid 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, light southeast winds. The barometric pressure is steady. We have cloudy skies on this Friday morning. Right now, a temperature of 72 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. It's 6:22. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The 2014-2015 Greater Alton Concert Association season is almost here. Kicking off the season will be Colin Ray on September 21st. Also catch Beatlemania Magic on October 26th, Al Simmons on February 15th, Ambassadors of Harmony on March 7th, and Dean Christopher on April 19th. For ticket information, call 618-468-4222. Come out to the Ann Whitney Olin Theater in Hathaway Hall on the campus of Lewis and Clark Community College in Godfrey for an outstanding concert season. The Greater Alton Concert Association.
There has certainly been no shortage of controversy floating around the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers' proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. The American Farm Bureau Federation has even put out a campaign titled Ditch the Rule in an effort to stop it from going forward, at least with the current wording. EPA Region 7 Administrator Carl Brooks was at the Farm Progress Show this week to discuss the Waters of the U.S. rule.
If you clear away some of the more heated rhetoric at the edges of the discussion, you see a lot of really important common issues that American agriculture and EPA and the Corps are working to solve right now. And I think it's at the core of those important issues that the real work has to happen here over the next couple of months. I think everybody who follows the issue knows this is a proposal. It's a draft rule that the Corps of Engineers and EPA put out on the street, and we have heard lots of commentary about it. Important point to make is the agencies want to get the rule right before it's a final rule, and we want to be clear, we want to be effective, and we want to be practical with it. And so the comments that we're getting from sessions like here at Farm Progress and other kinds of work that I do in the heartland allows the agency to see ways where we can get a clearer, more effective rule.
Despite the outburst of resistance that greeted this proposed rule, Brooks said there is one main reason the EPA continues to push it forward.
The rule is something that the United States Supreme Court and the Congress of the United States both indicated that the two agencies needed to do. There were a couple of Supreme Court decisions came down in the early part of the 2000s that said to the Corps and to the EPA, the way you're interpreting the Clean Water Act is not correct. Go back and do a better job of it. And so now this is the effort by the agencies to respond to that Supreme Court direction. The lawyers for the agencies who have written the draft rule have written it in a way that they believe complies with those Supreme Court decisions. We think we're also responding to Congress's direction to do this by a rulemaking. Some of you who've been in the business longer than others may remember that 3 or 4 years ago, the two agencies tried to do it through something called guidance. We got a lot of flack about that. Folks said, no, we'd rather have you do a classic rulemaking, where you go out and you take comments, and then you take those comments back and you propose a final rule, not this guidance stuff. That's why we're doing this right now.
The main contention over the rule is summed up on the AFBF's Ditch the Rule website. According to the site, the rule expands the EPA's and Army Corps of Engineers' regulatory authority under the Clean Water Act, giving the agencies the power to dictate land use decisions and farming practices in or near puddles, ponds, ditches, ephemerals, land that looks like small streams during heavy rain but isn't wet most of the time, as well as isolated wetlands. Brooks argues this is not what the EPA desires the proposed rule to accomplish.
The most important point that I share with producers all over the heartland when I go around to sessions where we're discussing this proposed rule is, if you did not need a permit from the Corps or the EPA before this rule becomes final, you will not need a permit from those agencies after it becomes final. So that the rule maintains a status quo that agriculture has enjoyed now for some 42 years. Remember, the Congress back at the Clean Water Act start in 1972 excluded almost all farming and ranching practices from coverage of the Clean Water Act. This rule would continue that. In our part of the country, out to the west where it's drier, there's been a great deal of concern about groundwater. You can't grow crops in Kansas and Nebraska without irrigation. This rule does nothing to give EPA any regulatory authority over groundwater. We're not a water management agency in that sense. Folks in Iowa, where the landscape is tile drained, have worried that perhaps now tile drains will become subject to it. It's very clear that tile drains are not subject to this rule. So I think as this conversation goes on and the questions come up and the agencies provide answers, we get a better sense of where the real points are that need to be fixed before the rule is final.
That's all well and fine, but the language of the proposal, as it currently stands, would leave the doors open for regulatory creep. In other words, they say they will not use the rule to severely regulate farming practices, but they could and may do so in the future.
I was with our administrator in mid-Missouri here about 3 weeks ago when she went out and did a series of listening tours about waters of the United States, and I heard her say, both on a farm and at a Missouri College of Agriculture event, the best interaction a producer has with EPA is the one that never has to happen. And that's what this rule is designed to try to do, is to make it clear on the front end where somebody does not need to go to the EPA or to the Corps of Engineers to have any kind of conversation at all.
A common concern held by those directly involved in agriculture is that this rule is the lead-in for a Chesapeake Bay-type situation here in the Mississippi River Basin to control the Gulf Hypoxia region. Brooks says that is not the case and that they are going at this rule from a very different angle.
In every part of the country, water quality challenges come from different sources and they've got different kinds of solutions. Out on the Chesapeake Bay, which is a long way from my area here in the heartland, the challenges were ones that the solution came from a series of controls on nutrients. The situation that we face here in the heartland, whether it's on the Illinois side of the Mississippi or here on the Iowa side, they're going to be dealt with through a series of solutions that are almost always driven by on-the-ground decisions, local land use practices, close work with our state partners, and innovations from folks who farm and ranch, as well as from folks who supply them services and equipment. That's where the solutions are coming from. Iowa being a great example, the Iowa strategy to control nutrient pollution. It's not premised on regulation. It's premised on setting goals and then deploying a lot of different techniques to achieve those goals. Most of them are driven by the same savvy and smarts and experience that people have used to raise the food in the first place.
One thing is for certain, the EPA has heard the concern of farmers through hundreds of comments directed towards the EPA from the ag community.
Oh, their voices are heard loud and clear. I believe that we've gotten over 350,000 specific formal comments into the EPA about the waters of the United States. Some of them are probably one line on a postcard. Some of them have been like legal and scientific discourses and treatises. All of those are going to be very thoroughly and very carefully considered by the EPA and the Corps of Engineers. So Farmers may be small in number, but they seem to have a pretty good idea how to reach out and let the EPA know when we should be doing something a little bit different, and they sure have.
With all of this input from the ag community, Brooks says there are a couple main points that are brought up continuously that the EPA will be looking to address.
Two of the points that I have heard the administrator say the agencies need to step back and do a better job on when we come out with the final version. The first is the so-called interpretive rule that includes the USDA and NRCS practices. From the get-go, that was not well explained, and it has not been well understood in the countryside. I'm fairly sure that the agencies will take another look at that. The goal was to try to incent practices that producers were already doing that we know have water quality benefits. It's been seen, and I think probably seen correctly, as not put together in the right way to give people the incentives that they want and the security and clarity that they want. Second thing we've heard about is trying to do a better job on explaining this connectivity issue so that uplands, wetlands, ditches, and perennial streams are better understood at the outset as part of a connected system. So I'm guessing that that's probably a fairly common point we're getting. Naturally, you take an area like Iowa, which is quite hilly and pretty wet, so you're going to have a lot of rain and snow melt. You're going to have ditches all over the place. Questions have been raised about the agency's intent to manage those ditches, to manage that snow melt and runoff. That's something that the rule will need to be clearer about.
Environmental Protection Agency Region 7 Administrator Carl Brooks. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.